reading to you from the 5th chapter of Luke, and with the 31st verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. And I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. You know, I was sitting in my studio the other day and I was thinking about that. Oh, what a beautiful day that was, my friend. I will never forget what he did for me. And that's why I go on, that's why I go to prisons, that's why I go to rescue missions, that's why I preach on the radio. I just want people to know that this God loves them too. Oh, he's not a respecter of persons. You say, "Well, Cecil, I got to clean up before I come to the Lord." Oh, no, don't do that. You can't do that. You come just as you are. As the song says, without one plea. And he'll save you if you'll turn from your sins and trust Jesus. Be with you for a half an hour tonight. Just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter, and I'm just going to take this one verse, 39th verse. "Return to your house and describe what great things God hath done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus has done for me. Beloved, I've titled this Home Sweet Home. You know, if you read that whole verse about the whole chapter about the demoniac, that story almost touches everybody, but it sure touches me, because that's a story of my life from day one. Here I was brought up in a Christian home. I was happy. My stars, I didn't want for anything. I had two sisters, two brothers, a mom and a dad, and a horse and a dog and chickens, and I had everything a man could want. But there came a time in my life when I had nothing. And I didn't know what I was missing. I didn't know what was my problem. I knew I had an alcoholic problem, but I didn't know why I was so miserable and so unhappy. Well, this is a sad story of this demon-possessed man. They say he lived in a cemetery. That'd be a horrible place to have to live. And the man was self-destructive. He tried to cut himself. He tried to destroy himself. And here was a man that was completely uncontrollable. Did you know, friends, that's the story of my life when I was an alcoholic. I was uncontrollable. My wife, she tried everything she could to get me help. She sent me to psychiatrists. She sent me to psychologists, brain specialists, yes, even preachers. But nobody had the answer. You would think that a man of God would know what the problem was, wouldn't you? You know, I was showing my movie up in a group of pastors out of Spokane quite a few years ago. And there was several pastors in there, and they'd watched the film, and all of a sudden I felt this tap on my shoulder, and it was a pastor. And he asked me to whisper to me, he'd like to talk to me. So I went outside, and he was in tears. And I said, "What's the problem, Pastor?" And he said, "You know, Cecil, this film is cut right to my heart." I said, "What do you mean?" Well, he said, "My daddy was an alcoholic, and a terrible alcoholic, and my brothers and my mother, we lived in constant fear of his drunken rages and things like that. But," he said, "one day my dad found Christ. He was born again. He sobered up. He started to go to church. He started reading his Bible. Absolutely a brand spinking new man." He said, "I've been sending alcoholics to AA. And I should have talked to him about Jesus." Oh, I said, "Brother, you're right." I said, "I experienced that with 6 different preachers. Not one of them, not absolutely one of them, told me about Jesus. That was my problem. I had no peace. I had my sins." Oh, friends, listen. When Jesus forgives your sin, immediately you receive peace in your heart. If you don't believe me, you try it. You say, "Well, Cecil, I'm not a stinking alcoholic. I don't even drink. And I don't even swear. I don't even smoke cigarettes." Well, bless your heart. I commend you. Have you been born again? Have you confessed to the Lord that you're lost, doomed and damned and undone? You say, and you know, friends, I think what the problem is today, I've talked to thousands of people, and they'll tell me, "Well, Cecil, I'm a good person." Nobody's doubting, nobody's challenging you on that. I'm not challenging you that you're not a good person. But the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that means you, that means me, that means all of us. Now, when you are drawn by God's Holy Spirit, and you feel a tugging at your heart, and you feel that there's something missing in your life, you feel empty, you feel unclean, then you tell the Lord. You confess that you're a sinner, and then you say, "Lord, come into my heart and save me." And I tell you, beloved, if you do that and mean it, you will be born again. Now, the scriptures say, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new." The minute I was saved, the Lord convicted me that cigarettes was wrong. The minute I knew that I had to quit cigarettes. Now, that doesn't have something to do with your salvation, but it has a lot to do with your, you know, the, excuse me, the Bible says that our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit and shall not be defiled. And when you suck that nicotine down in your lungs, you're defiling your body. Don't let no one kid you. Plus, it's awfully expensive. They tell me that cigarettes, I think, is $30 a carton. When I was smoking, they was about $2.50 a carton. Well, Jesus demonstrated his power over Satan to that man. He cast out the demons, and the man was set free from his tormentors. Beloved, doesn't that sound good? Be set free. You think these prisons I and my wife and my quartet visit and preach in, you think they don't look forward to the day that they'll be free from prison and when they can go back home to their families? Of course they do. I remember the day I got out of the Navy, March of 5th, 1946. Never forget that day as long as I live. Boy, I walked out of there and I was free. But, you know, I had remorse. I had no home to go to. I had no family. So it was kind of a mixed feeling. And, you know, the Navy is not a bad place. You won't catch me putting the Navy down. I learned a lot in the Navy. I grew up in the Navy. I went in when I was 17, and I didn't get out till I was 21. I learned a lot of things. But this man was calm and clothed in his right mind. You know, friends, I used to, up in Washington, Cedar Willow, they had a mental institution there. And many times families would have me go and see their families in these mental institutions. And I'm telling you, it was a sad, sad situation watching those people talk to themselves and imagining things, and they were tormented, their minds. And did you know, beloved, you may not believe this, but did you know that I found that about two-thirds of those people in mental institutions were religious? I didn't say they were saved. I said they were religious. Oh, boy. There's a tremendous difference between religion and salvation. Religion is man-made. Salvation is God-made. See, the Lord sent him home to show what had happened to him. Oh, listen. Whew. Boy, oh boy. You know, I just have to share this with you. The morning I was saved, after my wife finally said she'd give me another chance, I went in and I took a nice hot bath, put on clean clothes for the first time, went down and got me a haircut, bought me a little Bible, and I came home. And I sat there all day long, mesmerized as I read the Word of God. It seemed like wherever I read Genesis, Revelation, didn't make a difference. Every place I read it said, God loved me. Oh, I was the happiest man that God ever put on this earth. Now, when my children came home, there I was, sitting quietly reading a Bible. And my oldest son, the one I kidnapped that morning, said to his mama, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? And she looked up and she said, oh, he just got religion. She thought I had religion. Oh, I had Jesus. I had salvation. That day, my wife is an excellent cook. And that night, she made the most beautiful dinner for her old prodigal husband. And when we sat down, the children started dishing up their food. And I said, wait a minute, children, wait a minute. Your daddy has something to tell you. What's that, Daddy? I said, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm a Christian. And my son said, well, what's a Christian, Daddy? I said, well, I really don't have the words for it. But I'll tell you one thing, with God's help, your daddy will never be drunk again. Oh, friends, and I said, now bow your heads. And I asked the blessing. And I want you to know, my wife almost jumped out of her hide. She never knew that I had been praying since I was a little boy. But I wasn't a Christian. See, home is the first frontier of the Christian faith. Now, Noah won his family to the Lord. And through faithful preaching, he didn't have any converts, only his family. Nobody listens to Noah. He built that great ark. The whole world was destroyed by water. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. Bless his heart. Cornelius gathered his family to hear old Peter preach that great sermon. And, you know, he even baptized him. And then the Philippian jailer and his family, Paul and Silas, was flat out beat up. I mean, that guy beat the socks off of them. Now, they're laying in their stocks there. And Paul said, Silas, you remember that song we learned over at so-and-so? Yeah, let's sing it. So they joined in together and they sang and they praised God. Oh, what a sight that must have been. And the Lord was so happy, so pleased that he shook the old prison with an earthquake and all the doors fell off. Philippian jailer heard it. He run back in and he saw those doors laying on the floor. And he grabbed a sword and was going to commit Harry Carey, or suicide. And Paul said, don't do thyself no harm. We're all here. And then he said, or he asked the most important question that you'll ever ask, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, Paul could have said, now you have to go down and join a church, and then you have to be baptized, and then this and that. No, he did not. He merely said the most important words you'll ever hear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was it. And boy, oh boy, that jailer did that. And he said to Paul and him, after he cleaned him up and wiped the blood off of him, he said, would you come to my home? This is at midnight. And he goes over there and takes Paul and Silas, and they preach to his family and led his whole family to Christ. Yes, and they even baptized at midnight. That was to show you that there was a change in that Philippians jailer's life, don't it? Immediately he wanted his family to be saved. Our family should be the first to know our faith is real. Oh, listen, it is most difficult to be Christ-like at home. At home, our witness stands or falls. How strong is your testimony at home? Beloved, listen to me. Oh, my stars in the morning. You know, we can be real pious and real religious in church and put our little smiles on our face and carry our little Bibles and look so sweet and so pure. But at home, sometimes it shows a little different, don't it? Now, I'm talking to every Christian listening to my voice tonight know what I'm talking about. Home is a place of glory and the good things of God. Show what great things the Lord had done for thee. Do you major on your blessings at home? Do you talk about the Lord and what He's done and share with your family? Do loved ones see you as a genuine Christian? Oh, there's a lot of fakers, friends. And you know what? There's a lot of people who, what I call, have spiritual spasms. They pray to receive Christ. They don't repent. And their life is just the same. You have to repent. That means godly sorrow. Turn your back on the old way of life, and then you will have a genuine born-again experience. Are you known at home for faith or for fault-finding? And, hey, every one of us have been guilty of that. Sure, I have too. Yes, I have. Do you appear holy at church and hateful at home? Are you saintly at church and sour at home? Are you gracious at church and grouchy at home? Listen, those are things that you know I'm talking about. Is your home a place of praise or pouting? Do you glory in the goodness of God at home? Listen, home is the outpost for outreach with the gospel of Christ. You know, friends, have you ever been homesick? Oh, my stars in the morning. I was 17 when I went in the Navy, World War II. And I had a mean stepmother that hated me and beat me and vice versa. I hated her. I never beat her, but I hated her. And I even missed her. Oh, how I missed my dad and my sister and my brothers. Well, this man was out in a cemetery. They couldn't keep him in a house, chained up. He was out of his mind. Now, he is delivered from the demons. He's born again. Now, he wanted to follow Jesus. When Jesus and him went back to the ship, he wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, where are you going, son? He said, oh, I want to follow you, Lord. And that is what every person should feel like after they've invited Christ into their heart. And he said, no, son, I want you to go back to your family, return to your house, and describe what great things God had done for you. Friends, I am not a very good preacher, not a great theologian. But, beloved, that is exactly what I've done this past 51 years of telling my loved ones and my family about Jesus. I don't know how many of my family I've introduced to Christ, my grandchildren, son-in-laws, and I've led a lot of my son-in-law's family to Christ, and it's in my daughter-in-law's family, too. Well, this man started home and spread the word. Christians' homes should be a lighthouse. You know what a lighthouse is, don't you? You know, down there off in Astoria and in all those places, they've got these big old lighthouses, and they have the whistle that blows in the fog, and they have that light so these ships won't dash against the rocks. Well, we who know Jesus should be lighthouses. We're sometimes the only Bible anyone ever reads. Now, communities should know where Christians live. Neighbors should be evangelized, and families should be brought to Christ, reaching the world in one community at a time. You know, when Jesus returned, multitudes awaited him. One man had been faithful at home, and many believed. Let's make our homes mission stations. Obey Christ's call for Christian living at home. And I say this, my halo is not too tight tonight. But did you know my conversion immediately brought my wife to Christ? She saw such a change, she couldn't believe it. Here one day a no-good drunk, staggering in and out of bars, now home, reading his Bible, going to church, and my two brothers, because of my conversion, accepted Jesus Christ, and a lot of my family. And I'm not saying that to say, well, oh, Cecil, boy, you must really be something else. No, I'm not. You know what I am, friends? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a messenger boy for Jesus. That's all I am. Nothing special about old Cecil Moe. But I tell you, I'm so thankful tonight that I can tell you this story. I'm so thankful that that morning, in such a horrible condition I was, when I cried out to God and told him that I was a sinner and invited in my heart, immediately my life was changed. Friends, you say, well, Cecil, you know what? That kind of sounds interesting to me. I'm not a Christian, but I would like to be. Well, here's what we have to do tonight. If you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life and confess that Jesus is the Christ, and you invite him into your heart and really mean it, you can be born again right on the spot. No, you don't have to be baptized. You should. You should do it as an act of obedience, not for salvation, but because you have been saved, you know. Then you need to get into a good Bible-believing church. Get you a good Thompson Chain Study Bible and start reading in there. I would start in the book of John. Oh, my stars, you'll get so happy. You'll read about Nicodemus and all those great men. But tonight, if you have a tug in your heart and you feel empty and you feel your life has been in vain, won't you bow your head to me right now? But don't pray this unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Oh, God, forgive me for my sins. I'm so sorry for what I've done to you and my family. And Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in. Now, friends, listen. If you did that, won't you get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting at my phone, 303-471-8534.
Love. ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is that lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown a light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, listen, friends, please pray for my wife and I and my quartet as we go to prisons, as we go to rescue missions. Pray for our health. You know, some days I have bad days, and I have mostly good days, you know. Someone said, well, Cecil, you know, maybe you ought to get healed. Well, God can heal me if He wants to. Don't you ever tell people you can't get healed, but I tell you, it's got to be according to the will of God. Well, listen. This time next Sunday night, I'll be with you. I want you to be good to your neighbors and stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.